My name is Kate Stewart, and I'm here with my colleague, Gary O'Neill. We've been part of the SPDX project now for about 10 years. And Gary's been focusing on the tooling and implementing tooling to support the specification. And I've been working on making sure we got the SPDX2 specification up to date. And what we're here to do is talk today a little bit about dependencies and what we need to work with to try to understand when things are actually vulnerable. So the challenge today is finding, vulnerabilities in complex software. And this graph is from depths.dev, and it sort of shows one of the older versions of our tools, and we had log4j in there. And hunting down that we actually had a log4j dependency is, and we needed to potentially remediate was one of the, we had to go through the same exercise. So you have to search the full dependency graph. And it's important to realize, though, that not all dependencies are the same. There could be different types here. Things that are a testing dependency may not be significant when you're running an executable, for instance. But there's also the challenge that there's no single way of identifying software. Sometimes one distro may refer to the same package slightly different than another distro, or versioning, or have patches been applied or not. So there's a lot of variability on how the projects are named and versioned, as well as the types of dependencies between them. Next slide. If you wouldn't mind, Gary. Thanks, Gary. And then the problem is scaling this all up to open source ecosystems. So not only is it complex for an application to understand what dependencies are there, but when you have a package, it can be used in thousands and thousands of applications. In fact, the steps.dev site as of basically January 10th is saying that there's over 36,000 applications that are using log4j, and they all would have to go through this exercise of doing the analysis and making sure they're pulling in a more current version and putting a release out. Next slide. So at the end of the day, it's going to be which ones matter, which dependencies really matter, what do you have to focus on? And so first thing is you have to know all the dependencies. No shortcut there. And that's direct and transitive in particular, but then you have to understand which of those dependencies are really significant. So there's no point spending time working on things that are just being used for tests or in a path you'll never reach, but you still have to do the analysis, and then you need to be able to correlate back to the various package identifiers and appropriate upstreams. So the contains relationship is a really good start, but it's not always enough, as we're hopefully going to show you a little bit here. Now SPDX has been focusing on these problems for over 10 years. We started doing this because we needed to understand the relationships between components for licensing. Licensing matters here, and if something's static versus dynamically linked, that impacts licensing terms. So we started focusing on this pretty early on. It's been it's used by a wide range of supporters we've got who have been working with us, and we've been active now for over 10 years, and there's a rich set of dependency use cases that have emerged because of this history and this community we've had working on the project. And as of last year, SPDX is now an ISO standard. So we've managed to go through the international review and bring in the, make sure we have that level of perspective and have solidified it. So we've got an open working group that meets weekly. Anyone's welcome to attend. And if you know of relationships you don't quite know how to represent, please come join us and start talking about these dependencies with us. And if we can't figure it out how to do it with what we've got today, we'll be adding it in for the next rev. Now, key features for SPDX are it's available in multiple file formats. We can do this because there's an underlying model. So these are just expressions of the model. There's a JSON, a YAML, an RDF, XML. There's also something we call tag value, which is very human readable, and even more human readable, especially for lawyers, is spreadsheets. So we've got these different formats. The data can go back and forth between all of them without any trouble. We've got translation tools available. SPDX itself can be used for different types of SBOMs and usages, source files, creating a summary of all your source files for a release, creating a summary of the image. When you're doing a build, what are all the things you're bringing in and tying together in that build? Or you've been given a binary and you're trying to crack it to try to understand. This is a way of recording what information you have. You can figure which evidence you can figure out and have in a way that you can share with others. So there's a rich set of use cases there for working with build materials. And there's also, obviously, because of our licensing background, there's a very rich open source licensing expression. So you can represent very complicated relationships. We also have support for multiple artifact types. We can work with package files, snippets, SBOMs, as we're heading, is where we're heading to as well, but package files and snippets today. So if you've just got a couple lines of code and you know it's been inserted somewhere, you have a way of representing that. And describing complex relationships, which is why we're here right now, which is talking about dependencies. There are multiple ways of referring to packages in the ecosystem. There's multiple sort of domains or you know, federations of ways of doing it. Like there's the CVEs, there is the package URLs. There are a variety of other ways of referring to things. And so this gives us, SPDX lets you do external references out to these other federation domains so you can sort of map things. And Gary will go into that more. And then we also can refer from one document to the other. So next slide. Now, in terms of relationships, we've got almost 40 here. These are the ones that we've defined up till now. And if there are reasons, if someone has a use case and it is not handled by one of these dependencies or one of these examples, please chime in and let us know about it. Being able to know that whether something is a build dependency is quite different from knowing whether or not it, you know, is something that's being executed. And how something is a test or not. Like I say, there's a wide range of how we build our software together. And sometimes we need to be able to be very clear about what type of dependencies are in there, whether something's a patch or not. Is it, you know, something depending on it? It's a dynamic, static, so forth. As you can see, lots of changes here. Next slide. So an SBOM or basic graph, SPDX document is effectively an SBOM. And you can have something that's just as simple as a document that describes one package, and it also has references to like the security for it, or it also has references to the package manager for Perl. We've got, you know, that those two things on its own, just there with binary being to point at a document, could be a software built materials. However, the real power it becomes when you start bringing in and adding, okay, it contains this core.class file, which you've been hashed from your build and you know it's included, and there's other dependencies on other packages out there, and you want to put those relationships in play. If you go to the next slide, you'll see that we may also want to make sure that you are showing exactly which sources it was generated from and which file sources that contains. So keep going. You know, we could have the binary, the core.class was generated from core.java, and you might want to be showing the relationship to the source file that that binary came from that you are containing inside your package. So, and this way, we've also got different types of software bill of materials. So you could have something that is effectively a built software bill of materials, which is in the light blue boundary. All those things are potentially binary aspects or tools that we're putting relationships in. But in the dark blue, those could be sources. And so that's a source SBOM where you've got your source and the instance in there and your source files. And you want to put relationships between your built SBOM and your source SBOM. So these things are all possible. And that fidelity of relationships helps with the understanding when remediations are needed. And with next slide, I'll let turn it over to Gary.
All right. Thanks, Kate. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, you know, how, you know, if we have these dependencies, we have packages that are SBOM, how do we actually know if there's a vulnerability? You need to correlate it to information that these vulnerability databases track. And within SPDX, we have a field that we call external references. And the general idea is that you know, there's a whole world of identifiers out there, package manager identifiers, vulnerability identifiers, CPE, SWIDs, package URLs. There's lots of ways that people are using to identify that. And we're not trying to unify a single one, but we want to make sure that we can correlate or tie into these different environments. So that's essentially what these external identifiers do. So there's three categories of external identifiers. There's security, package managers, and persistent IDs, which are a very, in my opinion, a very well thought through system of identifying especially source files. And here's just a couple of examples. You know, there's the category, there's a specific type, and then there's basically a string that represents, you know, what the package actually is. And the string is almost always in the native format of whatever that identifier is. So there's a CPE 23 type, CPE 23 type, and then a package URL. By the way, package URLs are becoming increasingly popular, and you know, one of the things we're looking at for a future release of SPDX is to kind of promote that up to a first class identifier since it's becoming widely used. So a lot of times we'll run across the SBOMs where there really isn't any of this additional information being, you know, provided. But we can actually get some hints from a very common property that's filled in, which is the download URL. Because when you're developing software, even if you don't know what the CPE is, you know where you got the software from. So what you can do, and you know, you may consider this a little bit of a hack, but I think it can be done somewhat precisely in certain situations, is look at that download URL, parse it, and if it matches a certain pattern, you can figure out the package name, the version number, and some other additional information, and be able to use that to correlate back. So, and you know, in the demo I'm going to show in a second, both of these techniques are basically being used. So what I wanted to show you is just kind of a little demo I put together. It really is just a proof of concept. I could not put this into any production security environment by any means, but it's really a proof of concept to show how you can take an SPDX document that has either external refs and or download location information, parse that, and be able to put that into a security vulnerability database. In this case, I'm using the OSV, which is provided by Google. The reason I picked that, first, it's got a very nice, easy to read JSON output, which makes it rather convenient. It aggregates different vulnerability databases, and it takes less than perfect information to be able to give you some vulnerability information. If you're interested in looking at the code, the URL's at the bottom of the page there. And so feel free to look at it and leverage whatever you can. It's Apache license, so it's all open source and available. This is a little bit about what the demo is. So there's an SPDX document, of course, which describes a package. This is the package that's in question. You know, we want to know if there's any vulnerabilities of it. This package contains a file, which, by the way, doesn't have any vulnerabilities. The ones in kind of reddish there, those are the ones that actually have vulnerability information in the database, by the way. This package uses a build tool. By the way, this will be really clear when you see this next example. This is totally fabricated. There's nothing real about this demo. I just picked these particular relationships and tools because either had vulnerabilities or had the right types of relationships to show the concept. So in this package uses a build tool, which is called TinyMCE. And then it actually contains or is linked to several different utilities. So I picked three of them. The top two have dynamic links to Jinja and dynamic link to Saxon. And then it has a depends on relationship to a package called XLSX. And Jinja has a transitive link to something called log4j. So all of these are represented within the SPDX structure. So let me just give you a quick demo of what this looks like. And I'm just going to run the utility, which is a Java utility. So I just run this. And basically, all this is saying is that it's running it with an input file of the spdx.json, an output file of another JSON file, which is queried from the OSV. And we just run that, and we end up with a longer time than it typically takes, but there we go. So we now have the output JSON file. So let me first start off by just jumping into the spdx.json file. And just kind of give you a quick, this is the JSON format of it, which is not the most human readable, but you can kind of read it. And you see it's got quite a bit of information in it. But if I go down to an external ref, you'll see the information that I was talking about before. So here's an example where there's an external route category security in the CPE. So this is basically what it's keying off of. Now, if I go to the output that I just produced, let's see, oh, I guess I did use that. All right. You'll see this is the output OSD. And now if I do a search for log4j, you'll find that it shows up in the as one of the packages. And this is the transitive dependency. So you can see that it's following it there. And if I look for TinyMCE, you won't find it because that happens to be the build tool. So this is just an example where it is a relationship. It does show up as one of the packages, but it recognizes that it's not something significant for a vulnerability, so it gets excluded from the result. And by the way, you can, if you're, you know, one of the options on the utilities is to add a dash A option, which if you do that, it will produce a an error that I did something wrong because I put the A after the dash O. Hold on a second, put it at the end like it should be. And then it'll produce every, it'll basically go through all the packages and produce all the vulnerabilities for that. And when you do that, you'll see that TinyMCE shows up at the very top there as one of the affected packages. Highlight that, make it a little bit clearer. So that's pretty much the demo of the application. Pretty simple. I will just say from writing this, there's two things that were complicated. One is parsing all of these different formats for external refs that were out there. And then the dependencies, you really have to worry about dependencies going both ways. You can express something dependent on something, and you can also express dependencies in the reverse. So both of those have to be examined to be able to get a complete set. So walking the entire graph and doing that was probably one of the bigger challenges. So that's the demo. So in terms of what's next for the utility, my main purpose for this was to really understand how SPDX relates to these vulnerability databases and take that knowledge and information back in to improve SPDX. And then if there is interest, if there's people that are interested in collaborating, making this something a little bit more production ready or used, you know, if there's more of a community interest in this, I'd be happy to participate in that and we can move it over to the SPDX repo, make it a little bit more real. So the last thing to talk about is what's next for SPDX. And Kate, if you don't mind, if I turn it back over to you for the last slide.
Sure. So SPDX, with SPDX 3.0, we're all working on that right now, and we're splitting it into profiles. This is one of the feedback, some of the feedback we've heard. So we'll have a core, and William Bartholomew is the lead on the core for 3.0 now. And then we'll be having a software profile, which is, you know, our package file and snippet and licensing. And so the core plus software plus licensing can give us what we have in 2.2 today. But you do not necessarily need to include all these profiles if you don't want to. We're also looking at adding some additional optional profiles, one for defects, which will include vulnerabilities so you can capture vulnerability information directly, as well as usage, like when does something end of life. These are use cases that people have wanted to be able to capture and share with the SPDX information. And so we're working on enhancing the spec so that these things are optional and can be selected when appropriate. And even farther down the road, we're looking at, you know, how do we get support scenarios happening for systems? So how the hardware potentially can be summarized, the services, any data, training data, and so forth. What we can do for extending SPDX to be able to support the system level information. And that's where we're going. So I guess with that, we'll go to the next slide and say thank you very much. Appreciate your interest. And if anyone wants to come and, you know, join us, everything is open here. And you can come to our website and learn more about the spec or participate, where to participate and join us in the meetings. With that, I'll say thank you very much. Thanks, Gary.
Thank you.